program and its hosts. Tune into the show on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
It's now time for Connecting Caregivers with author, speaker, caregiver advocate, and talk show host, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for caregivers.
Caregivers around the world today, it's time to lift you up. It's time to celebrate. Good afternoon and welcome to Connecting Caregivers with me, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregivers with love, laughter, and lessons learned, because you know I got plenty of that stuff.
You do.
And with me, as always, is my co-host, my best friend, and my sidekick, not sidekick, Lynn Thornley.
Good afternoon. Nice
How
to
are
be
you today?
Here. I'm doing well. Had a nice week. Your cousins are in, and it's always fun.
Yeah, my cousins are in. My cousin Nancy and her grandson Paul, who are outside the studio right now, are in from Michigan.
Yeah.
So it's always good to be with family and spend some time. They're waving to us. And spend some time with family. It's all good. And we have Ed on the board today. Hey, Ed.
Happy Saturday.
Happy Saturday. How are you today? Good?
I'm good.
Good, good. And then we have my best friends, Maureen Rillison and Brian LeBlanc. I'm so glad. I could have you guys every week, you know that. We might have to do that sometime.
Well, my question is
when
why,
did we start?
Why don't you?
Exactly.
But that's for another
time. That's all off the air. We'll have
exactly,
that conversation.
Yeah.
So this week we have our newest listeners. Oh. We have Sheila in Sarasota. We have Michaela in St. Pete, and we have Bonnie in Ohio.
Welcome, ladies.
Yes, welcome to all our newest listeners. You know what I always say, there is always plenty of room around the Connecting Caregivers table for new listeners, whether you listen to the podcast or the live show or the YouTube or whatever it is. And I'm excited to say that April 20th, my new podcast will be starting. Connecting Caregivers presents Candid Conversations. So the first person I'm going to be interviewing actually met me through genealogy. She's related to me.
Oh, wow.
So her mother and my dad were cousins. And we met probably through genealogy. We met probably about 2 years ago. And the first time I went to meet her, we went to lunch somewhere. And she's just lovely, of course. And
She's related.
Yes, exactly. Well, shortly after that, she retired. And then she's really into the genealogy. So she said, do I want to come by her house for lunch one day? And I went over there, and she had pictures on the table. She says, I'm having a hard time identifying some of these people. I'm like, that's me! That's my sister! It was so cool. And she had, an original picture of my cousin from the photographer, when she was a little baby.
Oh, my God.
You know
God.
How they used to make it? And she gave it to me.
Oh.
Yeah, she scanned everything, and whatever original she gave to me.
Oh, wow.
So she's going to be my first guest.
That's amazing.
Which I think is very fabulous. And then I don't know if you saw those beautiful bears that were made for me by hospice.
I did.
So Seasons Hospice made these three beautiful bears for me out of Tom's shirts. And especially Skylar's is so special because his granddaughter, because that shirt's the shirt he wore at his wedding. So I contact hospice and I say, can you give me the name and address of the lady? I'd like to send her a thank you. And they said, no, we can't do that, but you can bring something by here or whatever. And he said, but we have to let you know the person that made that is a 12-year-old girl.
Oh,
a 12-year-old girl.
Wow.
She makes them with her grandma.
Oh, wow.
It gives me hope for our future.
Yes.
It gives me goosebumps. And to do such a kind thing and be working on it with her grandma. And you see the one bear is plaid. I mean, she's got it lined up like a...
Two of them were difficult patterns.
Just absolutely. So I'm bringing a present to hospice, and I'm hoping I could get her to be on one of the podcasts. I don't know how shy she is or whatever, but wouldn't that be fabulous to have
that? That would be so awesome.
Yeah, I would really, really like that. So in a few minutes, we have Sean calling in. We don't have Sean yet, do we? Okay. So we have Sean calling in, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about Sean. Sean has a company by the name of Ping. And he founded Ping. He's an MBA student at the University of Chicago Booth School of Business. The company is named after Sean's grandmother. Sean grew up in Beijing. After moving to the U.S. at 14, he remained deeply connected with his family in China. However, the time difference and the busy schedule made it very challenging to check in on all of them. And then he met some other classmates at Chicago Booth that had the same issues, that they lived far away from their elders and they really couldn't check on them. And then, of course, the onset of COVID exasperated everything. So he's going to be calling in a few minutes because I think what he's done is absolutely fabulous. it's tough to be a long distance caregiver.
Yes, it is.
It's tough to be, and any kind of tools we can have today is fabulous. And I always say, well, we're talking a little bit about long distance caregiving. And of course, we know everything's different since COVID. But now we're starting to open up and go back. So when you go to visit mom, if you haven't visited mom in a while, when you go there, I want you to go over and talk to her neighbors. Because her neighbors is going to tell you the real truth about what's going on.
It's a good point.
Because mom's not going to tell you that she fell down the stairs. Mom's not going to tell. Two different caregivers did this. One, when she went to the neighbors said, "Oh my God, we were so upset when the ambulance came and took her away 2 weeks ago." She never told them. Because you don't want anybody to worry.
Oh no, we all want to be fine.
Right. I'm fine. I don't want my kids to worry. And then another one, when she went to talk to the neighbors, they would go, "If she hits that phone pole one more time." But she had like a best friend at the auto body shop. Wow. But, you know, you can't tell that. Because if you call mom on the phone...
Yeah, my mom had an accident, never told us. The super said to us, "I did not like the way they treated her," and my mother just went white.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
Poor mom.
But, yeah, but you need to do that. And it's not ratting them out. It's just finding really what's going on. Because if you call up mom on the phone, she's not going to tell you she fell down, she's got a big black and blue on her leg. She's not going to tell you that dad didn't poo in 3 weeks. Well, some will, but most won't.
Unfortunately. Because,
yeah, to the other extent.
I think you and I would say everything.
Yeah, we would.
We do.
What you see is what you get. And that's it. So while we're waiting for Sean to call in, I want to talk with you guys a little bit more. So Maureen and Brian have been on the show before with We Are Dementia Strong, which we all know about. We are Dementia Strong.
We are.
We are Dementia Strong.
Yes, we are.
But today we're going to talk about your other business.
Yes.
Which is caregiver support and resources. Now, I first met you probably 18 years ago or something like that.
When we were five.
Yes, when we were 5 years old. Right. Well, no, it was actually when I started wearing my training bra. So.
Yes, okay.
Yeah, that was it.
I knew I should have stayed out in the waiting room.
Yeah, Brian wasn't around at that time. So explain to our listeners what caregiver support and resources is, because I think it's what you do is invaluable and people just don't know about it.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So when Linda and I first met when we were five in training bras, I was just doing Medicaid planning. That's all I was doing. I was helping people to get Medicaid to cover the cost of long-term care, protecting their assets, and helping those assets to be there for the rest of their life. And through the years, I realized I had two choices. I could either put blinders on and ignore what was going on around these elders and just be there to do the Medicaid, or I could start to build a community of people I knew that could help them develop the knowledge to know what would help them. I'm not someone who usually puts blinders on. So over the years, I started to add things to my business, and then COVID hit. And I said, nobody's going to let me go into nursing homes or assisted livings. My business plummeted because of it. I said, I can take this time and boohoo cry. I did that a little bit.
That's okay.
or I can go back to school. So I went back to school, and I became just officially, as of Friday, a board certified patient advocate. And
yay, good job.
Isn't that
thank
great?
You. Yeah.
If you think going to school, you know, I used to be afraid of math tests, but now I'm afraid of any test that ends in oscopy. So I said, if I can do the oscopy test, I can pass the board certifications.
God bless you.
So I have now taken and used this patient advocacy to be the vessel that holds all of the services that I can do. But what's most important to me is about patient advocacy is this. We do not have a health care system.
Right.
We have a sickness, an illness care system, because the money is in sick people, not in well people. And I don't blame or point fingers at individual medical providers.
Yeah.
They are doing the very best job the system allows them to do. The hardest working, least paid people on this planet in the medical system are your primary care physicians. What they have to do for each of the people that are their patients is impossible. So I asked myself the question, self, because that's what I call me when I'm talking to me. I said, self, who's coordinating Brian's care? And this is my husband, Brian, who has Alzheimer's. Who's coordinating Brian's care? Is it his primary care physician? She's doing an amazing, shout out to Kimberly Grill, woo woo. She's doing an amazing job. She and her staff do everything they possibly can, but no, they're not.
They can only do so much.
That's right. Mm-hmm. It's falling to me. Well, fortunately for Brian, I'm a patient advocate, but imagine if I weren't.
Right.
And so.
It's amazing when we go to doctor's appointments because they'll say things like, okay, so can you tell me all the different medications that you're on? Maureen says, just a second. We bring this briefcase.
Right, with a spreadsheet.
She flips it open, she takes it out, and she goes, here you go, and hands it to them. And they said, look like they've seen a ghost. Like, you know, no one has ever done this before. But on that list is every single medication, the doses, how many times, this, that, and the other. And then they said, well, we can make a copy. She goes, no, that's for you.
And they're like, oh, thank you.
I know. Well, and that's just what she does for, I mean, she does that and more for me.
Right.
But that's what she would do for other people also.
Right. And I'm sure there's other care partners who take the meds list. I don't think I'm necessarily super
worried
about that. But I'll tell you something I feel really good about is I created a HIPAA release. And I did it for each of his doctors to talk to each of his other doctors because Brian has seven doctors. And I took, and I had him sign them, and then I took to each of the doctors the HIPAA releases with an attached list of all their other providers.
Oh, that's fabulous.
So they each had six HIPAA releases plus the list on there. And I said, now I don't ever want to hear that you couldn't tell what you did for Brian to someone else.
Right.
Right.
That's and wonderful. It's so important that the doctors talk.
Yeah.
Of course
so
it
important.
Is.
Important. And some people don't even tell their doctor that they're at another doctor.
Well, do you watch commercials where they say, if you've had a heart replacement transplant, make sure to tell your doctor. Really? Your doctor doesn't know you had a heart transplant?
Right.
It's like
right.
So, these HIPAA releases are huge. Another thing is when people are being discharged from the hospital or just going from home to a new care setting, the amount of errors that can happen between those two takeoff and landings can kill you. And I'm there as a patient advocate. I go to doctor's
appointments. And how many sometimes somebody goes into a community, okay? So now I just had a mini stroke or whatever. And then they don't have none of their medicine with them.
Absolutely.
And they can't get their medicine for like a day or two. My caregivers tell me this all the time. It's like totally ridiculous. And if they bring the medicine from home, no, you can't have that.
Right.
Because you're in the community now. So let's just have mom have no medicine.
I used to sneak it in from my husband.
I know you.
Well, but he needed it. Do you know what the key is?
Yeah.
The key is getting with the case manager at the hospital, let's say. I don't care if they say to you, he's not going to be discharged for 6 days. Day one, introduce yourself.
Day one.
And say, here's what I want from you. I want to know how we can make sure that wherever we're going to discharge him to, if it's a community that has to use their own provider of medications, let's find out right now who that pharmacy is that they use. And I want to make sure they have all of his insurance information. I want to make sure that they can talk to me and that I will be able to make sure to get him his prescriptions when on Friday at 4:55 p.m. you're discharging him.
Right.
And I visit them every day. Hi,
it's a big job.
But that's what I do for my clients because they can't.
They can't.
They can't.
And how many people do we have in Florida? An 85-year-old taking care of a 95-year-old.
Thank you. And I see my clients, the perfect examples of what Linda just said. You've got the spouse spending the night in the hospital, well, not during COVID anymore,
right.
But spending the night in the hospital, not getting sleep, not being comfortable. And then the discharge comes, and guess where they're discharging them to? Home. So they've already started at a deficit of being exhausted from the hospital visit.
And sometimes maybe they shouldn't be going home.
And I can fight for that.
And I think that's important because people don't know to fight for that.
I needed you back. I did way back when. I didn't want to take my husband home.
Did you know all you had to say was you wanted to file a complaint with Medicare, and he would have gotten 48 hours more in the hospital without a pause?
Do you know what they did to me? No. I had to, they moved him to a room and they called it outpatient. And I paid $3,600 for them to keep him. He was crazy at this point. He was violent, and they went, too bad, he's out of here. And so I had him put in that room. It cost me $3,600 for a day.
It breaks my care partners' hearts, whether they're a spouse or whomever they are. Right. But I tell them, I will say to the discharge planner, there's no safe discharge. This person is not going home with them. You cannot do an unsafe discharge. She's not going home.
Well, I told them I wasn't taking them home.
Well, but they knew I would call Medicare on them.
She knows who to get the guns at.
And the thing is, he
was chasing you around the hospital. Tell what happened that time.
He was talking about killing himself, so they sent him up to his doctor because he went for blood work. And the girl said no. So they sent him up to his doctor, and the nurse talked to him. And she came down and she said, he's fine. I jollied him out of it. I said, I'm not taking him in the car with me. He went berserk. He took off. I ran out of the hospital. He's chasing me in his chair around the hospital. The nurse is following him. And I get back inside and she turns to me and says, I can't deal with this.
Oh.
But you just told me to take him home.
Right. Everything was fine.
Yeah, he's fine.
But understand that you had so much emotion tied into this.
Oh, yeah.
You know, your love for him, your fear of him, your fear of failure, your fear of him not being okay. And I wish I were able to put a curtain down where I didn't have any emotions for my clients. I do.
Of course.
But I'm less emotionally invested.
Not your spouse or your mother.
I mean, what he ended up doing?
What?
Going to the parking lot, finding our car, leaving his electric wheelchair in there and taking off in the car.
And she was there by herself with the wheelchair. But there was nothing
wrong
with him.
Needed you.
Right, right.
Money is in being sick. They didn't see any way to make money off of him. And so it was going to become someone else's problem.
Yeah.
And your only other choice would have been to Baker Act him.
Oh, yeah. Many
times. We've done
how
that
many
already.
Times was
well,
he
I'm
Baker
just saying,
which is terrible, too.
It's an emotional decision.
Yeah.
One of the things that I have come to notice is that, and this isn't just because of my Alzheimer's. I think if I didn't have Alzheimer's, she would still know. But she knows more about my health
than
I do.
Right. I wish somebody I had knew more about my health than I do.
Yeah. And she says something, and I look at her like, how do you know that? And she, because I don't even know. But when she comes to my medications, she knows what I'm supposed to take, when I'm supposed to take it, how many I'm supposed to take. And I have everything laid out for me. I am a very, very fortunate and lucky man to have someone like her.
You are.
Who not only cares for me in a professional way, but who also, for some reason, loves me. And
I get why she loves you, because I love you.
and continues to do so, she does.
Because you know what? Believe me, I've seen caregiving situations where the person shouldn't be taking care of the other person.
Agreed.
They're frustrated. They're just not caregivers.
Yeah.
You know, some people are just not the nurturing kind of
And thing. I think that people, when they get care partners, especially when they get to that point, feel more comfortable calling someone like me and saying, done, stick a fork in me, than they would saying it to the doctor because they don't feel
or
like
to
they're...
their sister or to...
And so I'm emotionally connected enough but I'm also back. Whoa, such a good chair I got here.
I think we're going to switch chairs. Yeah.
I'm far enough away that I can be objective.
Yes.
And so, you know.
And you really need somebody objective because there's so much emotion involved in it.
Mm-hmm. But I understand, you know, lived experience.
Yep.
And I am a care partner.
Yeah.
The lived experience, when I say to someone, yes, I can tell you that I understand, but I can also tell you that I walk the walk.
Exactly.
And that helps us connect.
It makes a whole big difference. You know, I went to visit my brother last week, and God always brings me right back into that caregiving, Linda Sue. Because when you're not in it, you can forget what it's like. You can forget those feelings. You can forget that apprehension, you know. So, but David brought me right back. But right now we need to listen to our wonderful partners. So don't go away. We'll be right back on Connecting Caregivers.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you looking for compassionate and dependable home care for you or a loved one? Assisting Hands Home Care, serving Pinellas and Pasco counties, can help.
The day came that taking care of my mother was no longer the best thing for me or for her. Between kids and a job, I couldn't give her the attention she needed and deserved, and I was overwhelmed. So I reached out to Assisting Hands Home Care. Now I can see what an important decision that was, and I feel confident that my mother has compassionate and dependable caregivers who help her to stay happy, healthy, and home. Today, I'm able to visit with my mother and enjoy our time together, which is exactly what we both needed.
Assisting Hands Home Care. Call today for your free in-home consultation. In Pinellas, call 727-748-4211 or visit assistinghands.com. When you can't do it all, give Assisting Hands a call. Arden Courts is an assisted living facility designed to care for those that are struggling with dementia or Alzheimer's, where families and residents can feel the freedom with a nurse on site 24/7. Arden Courts provides specialized memory care in a safe and nurturing environment. They recognize every individual's physical, mental, and social needs and provide a secure environment that fosters independence for as long as possible. Walking paths, visual cues, and home-like amenities invoke a sense of freedom and independence. At Arden Courts, their goal is to make your loved one as comfortable, independent, and healthy as possible. They offer 10 hours a day of activities and programming with a unique setting of a home-like environment and 4 theme houses. It warms my heart to see how happy the residents are. Please call or stop in to talk with a representative. Arden Courts of Seminole at 727-517-7800, Largo 727-559-8411, or Palm Harbor 727-771-1600. Give them a call.
Is the fear of falling keeping you from doing the things you love? Do you suffer from diabetic neuropathy or plantar fasciitis? VoxLife can help. Whether you're caring for someone you love or being cared for, VoxLife wearable neurotech helps your body reach its full potential. Proven to reduce symptoms of diabetic neuropathy and plantar fasciitis, VoxLife also reduces the risk of falling in adults over the age of 55 by 8 times. VoxLife is a safe, simple, drug-free solution that optimizes your neurology. The biggest breakthrough in wellness in 50 years. VoxLife offers a 30-day money-back guarantee. You can't afford not to try it. To learn more about VoxLife, go to www.voxxlife.com/caregivers. That's www.voxxlife.com/caregivers. They help my parents and they can help yours too.
I see trees of green,
red roses too.
I see them blue
for me and you, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Okay, caregivers, now it's time for the caregiver affirmation. Take a minute, take a deep breath, sit down, close your eyes if possible, and just listen to these words. I know on my journey there is help and hope. I affirm that I am a good caregiver, that I try my best each day, and I recognize that I deserve to have my own needs met just as much as those for whom I care.
I promise I will not allow myself to be consumed by my caregiving role, and I will set aside time in my busy schedule just for me. I am mindful of the other caregivers in my life, and I will let them know that I appreciate their efforts. I am grateful for the people that walk beside me. I will take good care of my own health physically and spiritually, drink enough water, eat quality foods, allow for time to rest and to exercise, laugh often, if only at myself, and seek medical attention for my own health concerns. I am who I am, and I allow others to be who they are. Today I will add one item to my assisting angels list. Then if someone calls to say, let me know if there's something I can do, I will be ready to accept their offer and provide them with the opportunity to assist me. It is an honor to be of service of others, and I will not deny my friends and family this honor. Okay, think about it, caregivers.
And you know what I'm thinking right now? Maybe you need to add to that list that you need somebody like Maureen to help you.
Good.
Because, you know, I'm going to talk about Maureen maybe helping my brother and Kathy too. Because especially
can you do it long distance?
Why not?
I can do parts of it long distance. I was telling Lynn during the break that the question I have been asked most often in my career is, where were you 5 years ago when I needed you?
Yeah, me too.
Right. And I always answer, well, we're right here.
Right.
But what this patient advocacy has allowed me to do is avert a lot of crisis.
Yes. Because I'm feeling with what's going on in New York. Because I know my sister-in-law doesn't listen to the show, my brother, so I can say this. I mean, I'm hoping to get them to move down here, but I'm afraid that it's going to be a big crisis before something happens. And I hate to see it that way, because that could be avoided.
Well, again, I never would want to be overdramatic, because this whole aging, caregiving thing is dramatic enough in and of itself. But to say that bringing someone in to help is a matter of life and death... the sad part is my first out-of-the-pocket person to hire me as a patient advocate before I became board certified. The spouse passed away this week. A heart attack? Boom.
Oh, my.
To say that the caregiver passes away, what is it, 67%
of
the time?
I think that's what it is, yeah.
Before the person they're caring for? I'm listening to your meditation, Linda, and I'm thinking...
Yeah.
Here's how you stay alive to take care of the people that you're supporting.
And once you have the help, once you accept the help, because first of all, nobody wants anybody in their house, and nobody wants them to know their business, you know, whatever. Once you accept that help, you get to be the wife again. You get to be the daughter. You get to be the sister, because you've got all that stuff off your plate. Someone else has taken... You got enough stress already. Somebody else is taking those stressful things. And you know what? Some people aren't good at paperwork. Some people aren't good at communication.
Well, I will let you know...
You expect them to be?
The laundry list of what patient advocates can do is immense. I went in and chose what I know are my lanes of strength.
Right.
Then I went, during this COVID time, and I met virtually other patient advocates who do the other things that I'm not good at.
Right.
And I said, if I have a customer who needs this service, can I stay engaged, but can you be the one to handle it? Going through hospital bills to check for errors. 97% of hospital bills have errors in them.
97%.
Do you know that my husband used to call them up? He used to call up Medicare.
Yeah.
And tell them, they overcharged me, don't pay it.
Oh. Again, I believe everybody... Pretty much everybody is doing the best job they can. I'm not.
If Medicare sends me a bill, I'm not even looking at it. I'm putting it in the file cabinet because I don't know what to do. I don't know if it's the right price. I don't know nothing.
The people at Medicare are doing the best job that they can with the system that they have. This isn't a blame game.
No.
Right.
This is a, here's, we know the problem exists. Let's handle it. So, you know, health, money, what more can you do? And I still do the Medicaid. I still do the VA aid in attendance. So if you have a pot of money that's going to last for the rest of your life, and I can make that last longer with those two programs, how is that not a win-win?
Absolutely.
So,
you know, I also remember one of the first things that she did for me
when I was still in Pensacola, she was looking at the medical bills that I had from my bypass and all that stuff, and she called them and she had me. You mentioned to them that I.
A social worker at the hospital. They have someone admitted with Alzheimer's. What should that social worker's first thing been? What, this man can't take care of his own financial affairs. He's on Medicare. They know there's going to be a copayment due.
Right.
Of course.
Someone should have been in his room seeing if he needed to apply for a medically needy program. But no, instead, they take a man who's living on nothing but Social Security disability every month, and they have him paying $50 a month out of $1,557 a month to them for the copay. Oh, you think I didn't get on the phone? I'm like, really? You want to talk about ADA? You want to talk about all kinds of problems here I can cause? Or do you want to recognize that you need to go to your foundation and get him a grant to pay this bill?
Yeah. And there are resources.
Which they did.
We're going to speak to Sean now.
Okay.
He just called in because I think we had a time lapse, and then we'll get back to you guys. Hey, Sean.
Hi, Linda. How are you?
Joyful and grateful. So I've already introduced you at the beginning of the show. I told a little bit about your background, but tell us a little further about your background briefly again for the people who tuned in a little late, and let's chat.
Sure. Sounds great. So my name is Sean. I am the founder of Ping. I was originally born and raised in Beijing, China. Moved to Chicago when I was 14. Currently, I'm working on my startup, Ping, which is a wearable technology company made specifically for seniors and their caregivers.
Well, you know, I spoke a little bit earlier about how hard it is to be a long-distance caregiver. And I think that's something that you experienced right away, and that's part of why you decided to do this, right?
Oh my gosh, yeah, yeah. So my grandparents remained back home in Beijing. With them completely being overseas and a 13-hour time difference, it made it especially hard for me. As things get busier and busier, sometimes, you know, when I have the time to call them, it might be 2 o'clock.
Right.
So I always wanted to find a solution that hopefully maybe with my smartphone, if everybody's using their phone, that can conveniently tell me, how's grandma doing at this moment? Or has there been any abnormal vitals or activities being captured about grandma?
Because you know most of the time grandma's not going to tell you.
She doesn't want to worry me.
Exactly. Exactly, and then something can get progressed that wouldn't because you didn't know about it.
That's right.
All right, so grandma wears the watch, right? It's a watch, more or less.
Yep.
And grandma's in Beijing, and you're in Chicago, and you can look on your telephone and get grandma's vitals and everything?
That's right. Yeah, yeah.
You can also tell if she fell down?
Yeah, so that's actually in our development. We started this idea in October and ended up developing a product that captures grandma's key vitals and allows me to see her vitals remotely. So I'm here in the States. I can see how she's doing right now. In the near future, I would say in the next 6 to 9 months, we're adding in an automatic fall detection mechanism where if she falls, she can either push a side button for help, or it automatically picks up her fall,
right,
and alerts me,
right, which I think is fantastic. I'm a big proponent about the people getting the button, because I've heard too many caregivers tell stories of their loved one falling and being on the floor for 6 or 8 hours because no one was there to help them. I myself live by myself. I've been thinking of getting one myself, but to have this instrument that can do that and also give the vitals, I think is fabulous.
Yeah, you know, one thing about the automatic fall detection we found particularly helpful is that many of our interviewees that we've spoken to, in the past there were times where they actually lost consciousness and fell to the ground. At that point, it's pretty much impossible for them to actually push a button for help.
Right. And what happens if you have someone also that may have Alzheimer's or dementia and just doesn't realize they have to push a button? Well, not even.
Right.
They don't have to have Alzheimer's or dementia to realize they don't have to. Some of them just don't realize they have to push the button. They don't remember they have to push the button.
Right. Exactly.
Does this... Hi, this is Maureen. Does this also have the ability to do like a GPS to know where they are?
Yeah, yeah. So that's also in the near future that we want to add in that functionality as well.
So more or less, it's going to be like a really smart watch for seniors.
That's right. Very specific to seniors. We thought about maybe partnering with Apple, for example. Apple makes beautiful products, but it's this senior-centric focus that we're hoping to bring together as a part of the solution, making the buttons larger, more intuitive, and you know, we don't want to have way too many other features that
right.
our ideal customers don't necessarily use.
Right, right. Because many seniors, they're not even going to look at it to see the time. They're just going to have it on their wrist. Yeah.
Well, I know right. My husband, who's here with us, has Alzheimer's. And when I have to leave home to go work and such, it would be great for me to be able to know, oh, he's going outside. Or, you know,
he's in
oh,
the
my
yard
goodness, he's in Agnes's house. What's he doing in Agnes's house?
Well, I know not what you say.
Brian says I'm not wearing that watch now. Yeah, I think that's fabulous, Sean. And so you did this together with two other students, right?
Actually, eight other students at the University of Chicago. We're all grad school students.
You're all what students?
We're graduate school students.
Okay.
University of Chicago.
Okay. And just started chatting one day, and then you all came up with this idea.
Yeah, yeah. We all had a work experience under our belt, but we wanted to, you know, work together as a young team, bringing this solution for a much-needed audience.
Yes. And where can our listeners find you?
So our website is www.pingcares.com. That's PINGCARES.com. You can please take some time to take a look at the products and our story. And you can also reach me directly. My email is Sean, S-E-A-N, at PINGCARES.com.
Perfect, Sean. We'll definitely be in touch. I know a lot of people are writing this information down right now, and you and I had spoken the other day. Maybe you'll be part of our conference in November, but keep me apprised of what's going on and as you progress and everything, and we'll keep in touch because I really think you can help a lot of my caregivers.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for the opportunity, Linda.
Thanks so much. Have a delicious day.
Bye.
You too. Take care. Bye-bye.
I love that when young men come up with new ideas.
Well, it was a young man who came up with the little balls to feed his grandma to keep her hydrated.
Yep.
I mean, and aren't now those are like taking off like fire.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. If you don't know about them, what Maureen's talking about, a lot of times elders don't want to drink water. And it looks like a candy, but it's actually filled with water. And you could put a bowl there next to them, and they'll be thinking they're eating candy all day, and they're actually using it. I can't remember the name of it right now, but I'll tell you next week. Something water drops or something, but whatever. Yeah, I love this. Well, it's just like Becky Moultrie was on the show last week, and she has the home care company, and she said, I love when I interview somebody, and they said, I took care of my grandma, or I took care of my mom, because those are the people that get it, and those are the people that have the heart. You know, I mean, this boy evidently had a heart, boy. This young man... definitely had a heart for his, he's a boy to me, for his grandma. And I think that's fabulous. All right, so let's get back to what you guys do. Well, you know what? Let's listen to our clients first, our partners, and then we'll come back.
Yeah.
Don't go away. We'll be right back on Connecting Caregivers Radio.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Choosing the right chiropractor is an important choice to make. Located in Seminole, the Alexander Spine Center team is trained on the latest chiropractic treatments and technologies. At Alexander Spine Center, you'll find chiropractic and physical therapy care that is safe, effective, and a natural approach to pain and other health-related issues. Chiropractic unlocks your body's potential and natural healing process to ensure your life is a healthy life. We treat clients from the womb to the tomb. Call 727-397-3000 for a free consultation today or visit our website at www.alexanderspinecenter.com.
They take good care of me twice a week. And did you know they got the Reader's Choice Award for 2019 for the best chiropractic in Pinellas County? So check them out.
Arden Courts is an assisted living facility designed to care for those that are struggling with dementia or Alzheimer's, where families and residents can feel the freedom with a nurse on site 24/7. Arden Courts provides specialized memory care in a safe and nurturing environment. They recognize every individual's physical, mental, and social needs and provide a secure environment that fosters independence for as long as possible. Walking paths, visual cues, and home-like amenities invoke a sense of freedom and independence. At Arden Courts, their goal is to make your loved one as comfortable, independent, and healthy as possible. They offer 10 hours a day of activities and programming with a unique setting of a home-like environment and four theme houses. It warms my heart to see how happy the residents are. Please call or stop in to talk with a representative. Arden Courts of Seminole at 727-517-7800, Largo 727-559-8411, or Palm Harbor 727-771-1600. Give them a call.
Guaranteed to make you laugh through your tears, Linda Burhan's book, Good Night and God Bless, is filled with humor and heartfelt inspiration to aid anyone facing the challenge of caring for a loved one at the end of life. Her story offers hope for human strength and understanding of weaknesses during a difficult time. Life doesn't normally prepare us to become a loved one's caregiver. When it happens, it's usually sudden. A diagnosis of an illness, age-related frailty, dementia, and life suddenly is anything but normal. And because we don't even know what we don't know, where do we turn to for help or guidance? In Connecting Caregivers, answers to the questions you didn't know you needed to ask, Linda offers information, education, and inspiration from her own experience and from experts whose advice, practical tools, and personal stories will empower and guide you. Make sure to add these inspiring books to your collection today, available on Amazon.com.
Don't turn it off now. You need this stuff. Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio Network.
And we're off. Means time to get your pen and paper because Lynn's got good stuff to tell you.
Don't need any pen and paper, though.
No.
Because everything I'm going to tell you about, you go to lindaburhans.com, send her a message, and she will send you the link.
How convenient.
I know. Now she's cut my job in half. I'm being phased out. All right. Journaling, her journaling workshop for caregivers is this Monday. And it is at 11 a.m. Yeah, and then there'll be another one next month, the second Tuesday, right?
Second Tuesday of every month.
All right, and then A Daughter's Journey with Love, Laughter, and Lessons Learned is being presented by Linda on May 5th at 11 a.m. in person in Freedom Square and also via Zoom.
Good, good.
And you'll get lunch.
It's good, good.
And the conference, I don't know if you want to
talk. Yeah, the conference is coming up. I'll let you know more about that. But also, the Veterans Heat Factory is planning a fundraising event on Saturday, May 8th at the VFW up in Citrus County. They help first responders and veterans with PTSD. So if you're interested in that, just send me an email. And then on Tuesday, April 20th, Arden Quartz is presenting a seminar called Frontal Temporal Degeneration, FTD. It's the most common dementia under the age of 60. So there will be Sharon Denny and Esther Kane will be speaking about that on Tuesday, April 20th. It's really important for you to have as much education as you can about the different dementias, about the one, whatever one that your person has. Right, Maureen?
Cool. Medication for one is a disaster for another.
Yep. So let's talk a little bit about alternative treatments.
Yes. So another thing patient advocates do is they research alternative treatments. Let me give you an example. Somebody goes to their doctor, they get diagnosed with cancer. Doctor's probably going to send them over to an oncologist, right? That oncologist right away assigns that person a navigator. You go here, you do this, here's who can help you, here's what your options are. Doesn't happen if you get some kind of dementia. Doesn't right. happen with other diseases.
Right.
Parkinson's.
It's just like, here, take some meds, come back in right. 3 months.
Put your affairs together, enjoy your life while you can.
Right.
So a patient advocate will research and map out what needs to be done, will become that navigator, and we'll look at alternative health things. Not everybody likes it, but meditation. Yep. You know, you can look
CBD.
THC and CBD, big proponent of that. Different things that can be done for different people, and they need to be given the option. And if you receive a diagnosis, we often feel like if we say to the doctor, I want a second opinion, what he or she is hearing is, I don't believe you.
Right, or I don't like you, or whatever.
So you either have a medical provider who's secure enough in their own capabilities.
Says, go ahead.
And say, I want my patient to have the best of everything. A patient advocate takes you, gets you a second, or maybe even third opinion.
Right.
Why would you care what somebody else thinks about you when it comes to your life?
Yeah.
If that doctor's that insecure, we need a new doctor.
Yeah. Oh, I always say, you know, because people are fearful for doctors. Doctors are like, you know, on the pedestal, especially the older generation. You know, if your doctor, you bring somebody with you when you go to the doctor because you're not going to hear everything. When I took my mother to the doctor, they said cancer. I didn't hear a word after that what they said. And if you can't, because like we discussed this on the support group this morning. They only want to let one person in. She's like, I'm not going to hear anything they say. I need my daughter to come in. Well, if they won't let your daughter come in today because of everything that's going on, bring a tape recorder. And if that doctor does not want you to tape record him, then you do not want that doctor.
Or get him on the phone.
Yep.
And so, and another thing is, you know, I'm a huge supporter of hospice, so please don't use hospice. I'm not saying that. Death doulas. But please don't bring these people in when it's time for someone to pass. Bring them in and let them get to know the person.
Right.
Imagine you have Alzheimer's and you become nonverbal at the end of your life. What if you now have fears about death you never expressed to anybody and you're right. now living trapped in your head with these fears? Get people on board to talk with people and their care partners. You know, I have people who don't want the person to die at home because they're afraid to be with them when they're dying right. alone.
Right.
Express
well, explain to people what a death doula is. I bet you a lot of people don't even know that.
Well, I always say a birth doula brings you in, a death doula takes you out. but they work in conjunction with hospice, and they are there to make sure that all your wants and needs are met insofar as not the medical part of it, but the whole dying experience. And let's face it, it is an experience.
Yes, it is.
It's not something to be feared, because guess what? We're all going to do it.
Yeah. Well, you know, when my mom passed away, I didn't feel like so much she died. I felt like I helped birth her into a new life.
Thank you. That's wonderful.
You know, I felt, okay, she's going to the good place, you know, that kind of thing. And then, yeah, of course, she died and everything, but that was my experience with it.
And the death doulas work with the family members. The one that we
were with, what's her name, Lynn?
Lynn Golden.
Okay.
She just had an experience with a young father who had two young children and, of course, the wife. And when a death doula says, let me show you some pictures, you kind of go, woo.
Yeah.
Yeah. She did. And what they did for those children when their father was passing was beautiful. What they did with the body afterwards was the children and his wife anointed him, cleaned him, and anointed him with oil. They had already talked about what they were going to say. The children, I wouldn't say they were smiling, but they didn't look scared in the pictures. So don't be afraid to look at a death doula's photos on their phone.
But children should be included in all these matters. Children should be included in the matters of just how to treat somebody that has Alzheimer's or that grandpa might have this. Because children are more accepting and patient than anybody. And if they know, they're there to help.
So I realize we have a 3-year-old granddaughter.
She's so damn cute.
She is adorable.
Yeah.
Her other grandparents are 15 years older than we are, but it occurred to me a few weeks ago that one of the four of us is going to teach Emma about death.
Yeah.
And I want to make sure that Emma, that's my granddaughter, that Emma has a good positive outlook on death. And so I'm going to try to get her, Emma's father's parents, to also work with a death doula so that we can make sure Emma is prepared.
Yeah.
And I'm going to hope it's not me to go first. I hate to say it.
But and they have fabulous books out there for children today about death and everything. I just know when Tom passed away, there was some things I spoke to my grandsons about, my little grandsons. But there are fabulous things, and we just need to take advantage of it. Where can all our listeners find you? Besides hanging out with me.
Okay. Go ahead. You can look at lindaberhands.com.
That's how they find me.
Caregiver support and resources.com. And I will let you know that my website is under construction right now because I couldn't put anything about being board certified until I was.
Right.
So please have a little patience with me and know that you can learn a lot about me. You can learn about We Are Dementia Strong on the website, but it does not currently have my board certification on there.
Okay. And your phone number?
727-409-2292.
Where do they find We Are Dementia Strong?
You can look on Caregiver Support and Resources, or you can go on Facebook, We Are Dementia Strong.
And on Saturday mornings, you have a 10 o'clock thing, right?
A Facebook Live? We sure do.
So I suggest that you go at 10 o'clock on Facebook Live to We Are Dementia Strong and watch Maureen and Brian, and then take a little break and tune in for Connecting Caregivers at noon.
And what a Saturday.
Yeah. They can also go to our Facebook page and look at past episodes.
Yeah, they can go to your Facebook page and look at
right.
past that. That's
right.
great.
Right.
That's great. All right, so much. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in this week. We look forward to hearing you again next week. I just always love being with you guys. You know
we
that.
We love being here with you
And thank
guys.
You for Sean. Remember, God loves you all the time, and have a delicious day.
Bye.
Bye.
And you need a helping hand. And nothing. Close your eyes and think of me, and soon I will be there to brighten up even your darkest night. You just call up my name, and you know wherever I am, I'll come running, oh yeah, babe, to see you again. Winter, spring, summer, fall, all your